Are you ready?
Hang on. And yes, it is showing that we are good to go. It's up to you.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. I'd like to call the meeting to order, January 11th, 2022, our first meeting of the year. And I would like to know if there's any addition or changes to the agenda.
Both Commissioner Olson or Colley and Cardinale are shaking their head. No, no additions.
Okay. Is there any citizens' comments? Keep it to 3 minutes and see if anybody's out there.
Any comments from anyone citizen-wise? We'll give them a couple moments, and then once we clear that, I will mute those that are not active commissioners. Any comments from citizens? Hearing none, give me just a moment, and then I'm going to confirm that you are still on the phone. One moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember last time I accidentally muted poor Commissioner Cardinale and I had to get him back on. My bad. All right. Confirming as a quick roll call for you, Vice Chair Olson, are you on the air?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Cardinale, are you present?
Here.
And soon to be, as soon as we take the next step, Commissioner Colley.
Yes.
Okay, you have everyone accounted for. You have a quorum and everyone is muted other than commission.
Okay, at this point, I would like to welcome Dwight Colley to our board. And having said that, I would like to have him raise his right hand and be sworn in as a newly elected commissioner.
And I will do the swearing in if you want, or do you want him to read it himself? Either way works for you.
No, you go ahead. Well, whatever you guys want to
do. You raise your right hand. I, Dwight Colley, do solemnly swear.
I, Dwight Colley, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge the duties of Fire Commission of San Juan County Fire Protection District Number 3.
That I will faithfully.
Discharge the duties of fire commissioner.
Discharge the duties of fire commissioner.
Of San Juan County Fire Protection District Number 3.
Of San Juan County Fire District 3.
As prescribed by law.
As prescribed by law.
And to the best of my ability.
And to the best of my ability.
And that I will support and maintain.
And I will support and maintain.
The Constitution of the State of Washington.
The Constitution of the State of Washington.
And the United States of America.
The United States of America.
You may lower your hand. You are now duly sworn as a fire commissioner for us. Need to get a signature from you there. And then I will turn it over to Robin Garcia, who is a notary, and we'll notarize that and we'll get it filed for you. You now have a fully sworn in board.
Thank you. Let me know when you're ready and I'll continue on.
Congratulations and welcome.
Thank you.
Nobody clapped for me.
All right, ready for your next step.
Okay, I would the next item on the agenda is the nomination and election of 2022 board officers. And having said that, I would like to make a motion to move Commissioner Frank into the position of board chair. And I'm anxiously waiting for a second.
I'll second that.
So we have a nomination for Commissioner Cardinale by Commissioner Olson, seconded by Commissioner Colley for president. So now you've got any other nominations for chair?
I'd like to nominate Albert Olson for vice.
I'll second that.
So there's a nomination for Commissioner Olson as vice, second by Commissioner Cardinale, seconded by Commissioner Colley.
Is there any comments? Yeah, is there any comments on those motions?
So since they're nominations, you call for nominations three times. Close the nominations, okay. If they're accepted by both of the people nominated, you either then have an election or you can accept the slate as nominated, but you're in nominations as opposed to motions.
Okay, is there any more nominations?
For Roberts, you got to call.
Any more nominations? Go ahead.
Hearing none, you've called nominations three times. Commissioner Caldwell, okay, you accept the nomination for chair?
Yes, I do.
Commissioner Olson, do you accept for vice?
Yes.
You have nominations called three times and all accepted.
Okay, do we need to bring that to a vote?
You can accept the slate since there's no one running against.
Okay, sounds great. Okay, having said that, I will stand to the back of the room and put Frank in the middle chair. See if he can fill those big boots that have been there for a number of years. I know I spent at least probably 8 or 10 years in that chair over the last 22 years. So I'm sure Frank can handle the situation. Congratulations, Frank.
And congratulations to you too.
Okay.
Okay. Well, then as my first duty as the newly elected chair, I'd like to welcome and congratulate our newly elected commissioner and looking forward to a very prosperous year for all of us. So,
if I may, Mr. Chair, we have some correspondence that I forgot to share with all of you.
Yes, thank you.
That should have been right about the same time as citizen comments. We did get a thank you from the Friends of the Library for participating as part of Fire Prevention Week and Storytime at the Fairgrounds. And I believe you were there as part of EMS as well, yeah. Commissioner. We also, it's a hand-drawn thank you note from Barry and his little friend that got stranded over off of Lopez. They got drug out and we were able to take the fireboat over, pick them off. I know that Steph was one of the people on board as well as the crew that had, if I recall correctly, it was Lieutenant Hartzell and apparatus operator Salinas, Kathleen. And we were able to successfully rescue the two off the boat, bring mom and everybody back. They were on paddle boards. They're from Hawaii. And they thought it was fine to go do the same thing in some of our nasty weather in shorts. Got pulled out. They're 8-year-olds. Mom said, worst decision she's ever made. But the kids were really happy. They were scared until they got on the boat. And then it became really cool because they got to ride on the fireboat. And then you have the healthcare news that comes out for all of you from Fire Commissioner, from Washington State Fire Commissioners Association. We had no other correspondence, but wanted to share those with you all.
Thank you.
That's probably the most correspondence we've gotten in a long time.
That is. And it was the other side that I think things came in, people shared them and then stuck them up on the wall and it didn't get to you all. So we're making an effort to make sure that whatever it comes in as, even the little thank you notes, you got it all comes to you.
Okay. Well, let's move on. We'll go to the consent agenda. Are there any corrections or to the minutes of the regular meeting on December 14th, 2021? That would be just, Albert, that would be you and I only.
Right. Oh, and I make a motion to approve the minutes for December 14th, 2021.
Okay, I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, passes. Next are bills and payroll. Keith?
Okay, so total, you had all those before you. Robin has the summary sheet that we will pass around for signatures when you're ready. I would be happy to entertain any questions on payroll or the long list of warrants that we covered for the month of December. I'd be happy to answer any questions on those. We will cover summaries at the financial reports under Chief's report, but I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
I just make one
comment. I have no questions
on some of these items. And the chief instantly told me what they were, and I have no problems with that whatsoever. Thank you.
I had one, and you answered that for me ahead of time, so we're good there too. So, yeah, I don't have any questions on it. Albert, any questions about the?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. No questions on the payroll or the bills.
Okay, great. Okay, new business.
You need a motion to pay the warrants.
Thank you. I'd like to make do I have a motion to pay the bills?
I'll make a motion that the bills for December as presented be paid under the warrant.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to pay the bills. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, vote passes.
Payroll.
Payroll passes.
You did motion for warrants and bills. You need to do one for payroll, please.
I'd like a motion for which one? The payroll?
Payroll, yes.
I'd like to hear a motion for the payroll.
I'll make a motion to pay pay the troops.
Pay the troops. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second for the payroll. Any discussion? Hearing none, take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, okay, passes.
Thank you. All right, now.
Okay, now, new business. The work session for our new commissioner. We need to set a date and time and what items. So.
What works for you all? And I will look and see how we're going. Obviously, I would recommend if I could that the sooner we do it, the better. Lower that learning curve for Commissioner Colley and have some open dialogue. I'd like to be sure that I bring some different staff members since we delegate off different roles and responsibilities. So I'd like to be able to plan ahead for them as well so that when you have questions, they can answer them directly.
Okay. I'm open, except that I have to pick up a new truck when it's available.
Maybe we can all do it from your truck.
It's almost big enough, yeah.
I'll go do it for you.
You do it for me, go pick it up for me, that would be great. I'm assuming it's going to be.
There you go.
Week. We can tentatively set it, but we should set a date.
Conflict, just so you all know, remember the 17th. So this coming Monday is Martin Luther King Day, which is a holiday for many.
Right.
So just weigh that into your factors. I don't know if you want to do an afternoon, if you want to do a Saturday like you've done on some of your work sessions.
Well, you know, my schedule is pretty much open, except when there's.
So is mine. Mine's wide open. Just pick a day, pick a time, I'll be there.
Yeah, pick a day that works for you. You're the one.
Appreciate in the next 10 days.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, looking at, I'll check with staff, but we'll make ourselves available for all of you. Let's pick something right now so that we can slate it within the next 10 days. That's through like next Friday. If I can make a suggestion, why don't we table that for just a moment, look at what agenda you want, and depending upon how many documents you want, I would either recommend either the 19th, which is next Wednesday, or the 20th, which is next Thursday. That would give staff plenty of time to get documents together, put some stuff in that shared drive so you can all review the documents so that you can come with questions and or additional ones. And depending upon the volume, we can adjust either sooner or a little later up to that Friday if we need, if that sounds reasonable.
I'm on vacation every day next week except Tuesday.
Okay. If Tuesday works, we can do that as well. It's up to you all depending upon the volume of information.
Well, the only thing that I'm particularly interested in, because obviously I haven't seen it, are the work papers behind the budget that was voted on last session.
Okay.
Because I have no idea where that money's, you know, going to be spent, supposedly going to be spent, so I'd like that.
Yep.
And two, in looking through those shared documents, I came across, pardon my not knowing the exact title, it was like goals. I'd like to bring up some documents, so I'd like to discuss particularly what those goals are and how we plan on getting there. And those, to me, at this time, are the most important ones that I'd like to take a look at.
Yep. And we can share, that's easy to get for you. We'll get those up soon. So I hear you want all the worksheets behind the budgets for calendar year 2022.
Not necessarily all of them, but the reasonable ones to.
Yeah, there's a full document with all the detailed reports that is being formatted because our, now that it's been adopted, it will go live so anyone can see those. So we're just getting those formatted into PDF. And then we will give you the historic goals. And this is usually about the time that we propose new goals for the upcoming year. So we'll get all those to you for history. So I've got those two down as documents that you would like. Any other topics you all want to have to cover?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I need some time to think about it. If I have anything, I can get it to you ahead of time. Give me enough time to.
Unfortunately, I'm so new, I don't know what I need to know. So.
So Commissioner Olson, you've been doing this quite a while. On multiple boards as well as operations. If it pleases you all and if it works for you, what I could do is work with Commissioner Olson and then we can come up with kind of what steps through fire department, making decisions, why we cover as we do, some regulations from Washington Survey and Ratings, how that impacts how we do deployment, kind of walk back a little history of the organization and how we got to where we are today, some of our future steps. And if I work with Albert, since he's got historic, not only here, but in Island County and otherwise, we could put a really good synopsis together that can kind of step you through, as well as these that will be a good foundation for where we are now in the future. But if we give you some history, you understand how we got to here. So some best practices and some summary of Title 52, which sets us up by RCW as a fire district and any other pertinent stuff, if that works for you all.
Works fine for me because, as I say, I'm not a firefighter, and I want to make that clear. I'm not. I don't pretend to be. So with that kind of knowledge, that would, I think, be very helpful to me. So, yes, if you could do that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Albert, are you good with that? You and I can set some time.
Oh, yeah. We'll get together and you know, where we've been and where we're going to and where we'd like to go. I think that'd be great to, you know, just to refresh everybody's mind, even mine and Frank's and everybody else. That's, you know, you kind of forget some of this stuff.
That being the case and having those two specific documents, is it realistic that if we did something, say, Tuesday afternoon on the 18th, that way Robin can participate, which I think is important since a lot of the gatekeeping she has for us. If that works for you all, I would recommend maybe the same time, 1500 on the afternoon of the 18th of January.
Works for me.
How long do you think, you know, the problem is I'm an hour ahead of you. So I start at 4:00, but if it's going to go on like for 2 hours, maybe we should start an hour earlier, maybe start at 2:00 your time.
I'm okay with that too. And I was going to suggest probably 2 hours is a good starting point. Yeah, if you need to do a follow-up when we can.
Because, you know, but you know, at 5:00, I have to change my, you know, have to get the, you know, it's time to change at 5:00.
Right. Completely so. Right. So what I'm hearing is that we're going to do it at 2:00 Pacific Standard Time on the 18th of January will be our start time. I will send out a meeting request for all of you. We'll have the budget available. We'll have the historic goals available. And then you and I over the next couple of days, Albert, will come up with kind of a flow of history and then steps forward.
Good.
Okay. If I may, since this is an action item, if one of you could make a motion that we do a work session that will be a public session with no minutes as a work session for Tuesday, the 18th of January, starting at 1400 Pacific Standard Time.
Okay, I'll make my first motion. I'd like to make a motion that we hold the work session on January 18th at 2 p.m. It'll be a non-minute work session, and that we will discuss items related to informing Commissioner Colley as to historical aspects of the District 3 Fire Commission and the budget.
I'll second. Oh, go ahead.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay. So January 18th at 2 o'clock.
Send out a meeting invite for all of you.
Okay, we're into, there is no old business, so we're into staff reports.
Yes, that is correct.
Talk to us about our financials.
One second, I want to make sure I get this in our calendar, and then I will give you a follow-up, and I will set it for 2 hours. Because we know it's 5 o'clock somewhere. All right, staff reports. We'll start with financials. This will give you year-to-date, and remember, we always go through December, or we do the previous month. So this will actually give you financials through the end of last year. So year-to-date budget to actuals. On the revenue side, we came in at 99% of our projected revenues, including our beginning fund balances. So your actuals at the end of the year, so that's why your target is 100% of where you want to be. We, between beginning fund and otherwise, you had $2,866,554 of revenues. Expenses, staff did an excellent job coming in at 80% of our projected budget. We were at 95% for personal expenses. That was slightly up from where we wanted to be because we had Carolyn retire, and we needed to pay out her balances. So that's not one of those anticipated moving forward, but we did have it within budget. We also moved to our reporting system. So that played in to putting us at 95%, but we were still fully funded. And as you know, I didn't come back with any recommendations for adjustments through the course of the year. We were able to budget on the beginning of the year and manage our budget through the year. We did come in at 51% for materials and services. As you know, we always project conservatively for what our revenues are. So I always budget for we're going to bring in less, and I budget that we're going to spend more. Part of the reason I believe that we were under budget as we were for materials and services, we didn't have a training academy through the year because we couldn't open up because of COVID. Fleet Services has done an excellent job of maintaining our rigs, so we were down on those pieces. As Tad went through and did all the servicing, pump tests, and otherwise, we had limited corrective maintenance pieces, and we had no deferred maintenance. So our preventative plans are working. The check and balance, as you recall, you look down to that 100% for our capital projects bank loan. That is for the payment on the 6 pieces of equipment. Remember that those get completely paid off in June of 2023. So that $313,000 will then come back into general fund since you chose to do it as a loan. The capital projects out of the reserve fund, we were at 27%, and that's pretty... that's right where we expected it to be. Remember, we had $100,000 that was slated if we needed to do it as a down payment on a marine vessel. And we also had slated to purchase 4 of the UTVs. Due to supply chain, we were only able to get the one in, which will be shared in the fleet report. So all those rolled into a greater ending fund balance. So total expenses for general fund and reserve was $2,071,179 at the 80%. So when you balance that out, your ending fund balances leaves you $795,375 in the bank rolling in as your ending fund balance, which becomes beginning fund balance for this current calendar year. I'll go over the monthly review for December, and then I'll answer any questions on the financials. Total fund balances for cash and investments, we had $863,259 in total assets. And last month, we had $239,875. The fund expenses were slightly higher because we did make the purchase, and we also moved the $40,000 that was planned from general fund into reserve fund. So that just became more savings as we move forward for reserve purchases, and that was within the budget. Overall balances, you can see on the second page for general fund, you had $469,985 in general fund and the LOSAP account. Reserve fund, you had $369,222, and then we always have the $24,000, which is the payment for the vehicles. You can see the revenues, we brought in $43,000, there were some taxes, and then the $24,905, which is what the town pays. You will not see that starting in January because that will be rolled into our regular tax base since they annexed into the district. So the two things you will see in increasing coming into your revenues in this coming year is the annexation of the town and the annexation of the Outer Islands. So those are revenues that will be coming in that you will see as taxes start coming in that you haven't seen in 21 or previous. Expenditures, you see we had $119,000 in personnel costs and we had $93,000 in materials and services for a total of last month of $213,000, which may be a scary number, but it balanced out at the end of the year. We wanted to make sure that any of the purchases that we needed within the 21 calendar year were not only purchased, but received. So we stayed within our government financing of modified cash basis since we do not do accruals. Be happy to answer any questions on the financials.
Just kind of curious, what will be the revenue from the Outer Island?
Approximately $74,000. That's not showing what any inflation is for AV, but when we originally did the annexation number, it was approximately $74,000 for all the Outer Islands that were brought in, and it was about the $300,000 that we saw. I think it was $299,000 for what the town prior to whatever happens in 2021 AV.
So, say that vehicle going to Stewart, are they paying for it or is somebody else paying for that?
That comes out of our funds.
I mean, basically, what I'm trying to get at is, are we expecting the Outer Islands to carry their own load, so to say? Or is, you know, this island going to have to pay for a lot of what goes on the Outer Islands?
I think the easiest way to answer that question is, as a protection district, you strategize how you take care of everything equally and it's more equally distributed. Our commitment that we made when they annexed in is that we would provide resources appropriate to protect them. So yes, their tax base makes them sufficient with what we push in, whether it's a portion of those UTVs, whether it's a portion of a marine vessel, but it's distributed. So I think bottom line of what I think you're getting at, correct me if I'm wrong, Commissioner, is are the residents of San Juan Island subsidizing, for lack of a better word, these other islands that are brought into the district? And the answer is no. They, all of the taxing properties pay into the district, and then we protect it comprehensively, which is why we can have the stations and resources as we do. So no, they're not, but they are paying their share for the resources they need to protect those islands.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yes.
Chief, philosophically, would you expand a little about our mission and our ethos and how historically we did respond and we didn't get it? So this is actually a correction.
Right. That's actually a really good point. And I think that would have been part of what we cover, but because you asked the question, that's a really good point. And why don't I do this? You've got that, and that was part of our operations approach and why we did what we did, and you've got the history. So why don't you cover that?
So I guess what I wanted to expand on the Chief's explanation was, as an entity, as an entity in public service and emergency services, when a call goes out, whether it's on, you know, San Juan Island, whether it's on national parkland, whether it's in, you know, the courthouse in Friday Harbor, whether it's on Brown Island, Stewart Island, Waldron Island, Orcas Island, if we get called for help, we have to go through a decision-making process, like, are we going to deny this or are we going to accept it? And generally, you know, the ethos here, the philosophy is we accept unless we can really, you know, identify a valid reason to say no. So in the time I've worked here since 97, we have generally always accepted the request for help, no matter what it is, unless it's outside the scope of our services. So, for instance, we have been responding to Stewart Island, to Henry Island, to John's Island, to Spiden Island. We've been responding to Waldron Island. We've been responding to Orcas Island, Lopez Island, Decatur Island, Center Island, Blakely Island. You know, go through the list. We go help. A lot of those islands I name, either, you know, we may have, like, another district will have an agreement in place. It's a mutual aid agreement. We share that. We knowingly share resources when we need each other. Other non-protected entities, we go help and we figure it out later. So, for instance, a couple of years ago, we had an extended or protracted event on Trump Island. Large, you know, high-end home burned up, and we went out there and assisted, and Lopez assisted. I think Orcas even helped away. Sheriff.
They were in the hook.
It was a multi-agency effort, Department of Natural Resources. And in the end, the decision was to go after back to the landowner and say, hey, there's a cost to this that we provided. That do we always do that? No, it's not appropriate. We don't. But I can say personally, I think it's one of the benefits and what's great about the annexation we went through with the Outer Islands that we did is we have been providing those services over the years, and it has been on the backs of the taxpayer base here. Now that's corrected, so they're actually contributing to the whole system, and it just adds another revenue stream for us to enhance those Outer Islands services and the complexity of logistics and costs and training to go with that other level. And hopefully we can continue to expand that reach and build on that system so that this county's, from emergency services perspective, we build on a philosophy that we're protecting the county. We're not protecting just, you know, a tax base here. We want to see the whole protection happen. And we're far from that, but, you know, my hope is someday we will be able to see it holistically in our community as a county of islands.
And that, I think, is the key thing, Commissioner, is that, and it's one of the challenges that your commission has been approached with. Since I've come on board, what has transpired in the past is it's been edgy because you could argue that there's been gifting of taxpayer dollars by a number of the eight entities because we don't have a countywide system. So you have unprotected islands throughout this county that don't pay into services, yet when something happens, we go. And we're not going to decline it. And you know that from your law enforcement and military background. If someone has a need and needs help, we go, right? And then we figure it out later. I will say, and Commissioner Cardinale and Olson, you guys struggled a little bit when I came back and said we need to charge the landowner when we went and we did the fire suppression on Trump because you had never done it before. But we said we have an obligation to our taxpayers to recover as much as we can, and we charged them and they paid it and it was fine. So I think we have opportunities to do things to better protect our community. We've grown in our relationship with Lopez, Orcas, and Shaw, that we have those agreements. So that's an easy one, right? Because we have those agreements. It's the other unprotected islands that all four of our entities will come together to take care of them, but there's a better way. And it's not an overnight piece, but this is one step now that we do and can demonstrate that we brought Outer Islands in, they pay their share, we now comprehensively protect them. And in the big scheme, putting that gator over there is going to help our responders. Not only will it help them be more protected, we can now provide training and community risk reduction programs to those other islands that we brought in as part of our obligation to provide service because they're paying into the district where we can't do that to the others. And wouldn't it be great if we could provide that for the county? We're not there. That's a multi-year kind of approach, but that would be the future picture. Everything else around here is a county system. So that's kind of where that blends out. So we're baby stepping. Frank or Albert, do you have anything to add on that?
I do, you know, as they are, my family is a landowner on Stewart Island. And one of the things that we heard when we went over there for the meetings a couple of years ago was we are not able to get any fire insurance on our buildings over there because it doesn't have a fire district. And so now that was one of the things that we heard from the landowners that, you know, once they join the district, even though their premiums will probably be pretty darn high, they will at least be able to get fire insurance on their dwellings over there, you know, on all the outer islands.
One of the pieces that's interesting on that, if we continue down the direction that you guys all gave us in protection services, and that has to do with marine response, when we went through the last re-rate with Washington Survey and Ratings, one of the things that surprised me, honestly, was because of the positioning of our fireboat in Friday Harbor and its proximity and response time out of here and to get to Brown Island actually came into the fire protection rating of a 6, which is what the town and the rest of the district had, even though it's Brown Island and we've got to get to there and get over there. It brought it into the catchment. If we put in protection equipment, a boat, as you guys have predicated of what we want to do down the road, is a boat out of Friday Harbor and a boat out of Roach. That puts us, if we have staffing to protect not only San Juan Island, but the northern islands that we've got, that may dramatically change the fire protection rating up there as well. That's not going to happen overnight because we want to get there, but we're not there yet. But using Brown Island as an example of how we think about things in the direction that you gave us, that's a very realistic possibility down the road. Not tomorrow, not in the next year, but something to think about within your 10 years. I know that was a long answer for you, but trying to bring you up to, we can do the work session.
I was just wondering because you're going to take that expensive piece of equipment out there and stick it over on Stewart. And, you know, it seems to me that, yes, I totally agree with you saying you go and worry about it later, but there ought to be some kind of consequences for them. Mm-hmm. When I say consequences, I'm talking tax wise. Mm-hmm. You know, they get that piece of equipment that's only going to be used there.
Yeah. We wouldn't have put it over there if they hadn't come into the district with a taxing base. The other piece with that platform, which is really nice, actually, we've talked to National Parks, and they have a similar drop bow platform that in our partnership with them, they said, if we need to move resources or equipment, we can actually drive that onto the front drop bow, secure it down and take those to other islands. That's why when I was explaining that we had 4 in the mix, and one of them to be used here or on another island, because we want our people that are responding to be safe and efficient, we can actually move that around. So if we decide or you decide that we need to go to another direction, we can detail those to different places if we find there's a better location for them. So they can be moved. It's not easy, but they can be moved.
Yeah. Albert, do you have any questions?
No, I'm fine. I'm done.
I just have one. We have our purchase now. We've got our first one. We knew about that. Mm-hmm. And do we know what kind of a delay we're looking at for the other 3?
4 to 6 months. They were saying it wouldn't be till April if we put the order in, and they wanted a PO in December. And I said, yeah, that's not going to happen for you. We understand we wanted to get this one out. We wanted to make sure it was the platform that was appropriate. And frankly, I want to make sure that it's delivered as we need. It came in, there was a glitch. I want to see how their customer service approach is. As Tad relayed that, I need the support if I'm going to support you as an organization, as a company. I can tell you that Gravely is full on board. I want to see how the workmanship finishes with our distributor. So far, they've been responsive. I want to make sure it is before we contemplate another purchase. The slip in seems exactly what we need, but we want to work it. So I would anticipate the others would be quarter 2, quarter 3 at the earliest.
That brings up a good point. The service, you know, they're coming out here. We're taking it there because something is going
to
go wrong.
Well, if something goes wrong, that's why we have Tad, who's certified and qualified to maintain our fleet and that size of equipment. So he's got all that repair knowledge. So That keeps it down dramatically.
Okay, that answers that question.
If there aren't anything else on the financials, I'd like to turn it over to Assistant Chief Monin for the ops report.
I've got a two-tier report for you here. First is the touch on December activity operations, and then expands a bit for a what I call a year 2021 performance highlight. So for December, we had a total of 72 incidents. 67% were EMS, and 33% were fire all hazard. We had an average reaction, total average reaction time of 1:36. And I broke those down into EMS reaction time, 1:32, and fire hazard reaction time, 1:05. Chief asked me why it was such a lower response time, and it's because there were so few calls. There were several in there. I believe the crew was out doing something, and they went and route instantly. So it's one of the benefits of having a crew that's out doing things in the community, because they do have a much quicker reaction and often a quicker response time because they're in the community doing things. Smells, bells, and helps reaction time was 1:49. Those are the non-emergent or can't or downgraded type calls. December minimum staffing was met. Operations activity was limited with observed holidays and weather challenges. So we basically, you know, December's a quiet year. A lot of folks hunker in and things seem to slow down a bit. And we definitely would mirror that. Commercial burn permit programs, you know, we've been establishing that. I think it's fully fleshed out now. So we are in partnership with the county. Our shift crew goes out and does commercial burn inspections in collaboration with the county as part of that process. There's still a few things to work on. The new fire marshal's in place, and he and I are working on a way to access documents. For instance, we had a commercial burn complaint on Dinner Island this last weekend. I could see it. There was definitely smoke. It looked like a problem, like more than one burn file, but I couldn't verify unless we went out there, which goes to some of Dwight's comments about, you know, the logistics and the difficulty getting out there. So I called Chad, the fire marshal, like, hey, do you have a permit out there? He wasn't near a computer. 20 minutes later, he got to a computer and said, yes, I do. He verified it by sending me a photo. And what I'd like to see is a better way for us to verify those permits on demand, basically. It doesn't rely on a person to get us there. And that just helps clean things up for us. But otherwise, the program's working really well. I'm pretty happy with it.
On the burn permits, so having access to the burn permits would be a real plus. So maybe using a laptop or something to be able to see whether there's a burn permit there. Has there been any discussion about being able to, or having the responsibility of citing illegal burns?
Yes.
Yes.
And we're not doing it.
Okay.
Because it's under the purview of the county fire marshal, who is Chad Kimple. I think that the relationship that we have with him is going to be very good this way. There is a mechanism to see the permits that are out there. It's the SmartGov portal. We have to get into it.
Is it just as simple for the fire marshal to fax us a copy of it?
It is, but the paper copy of, oh, we've got something now, where do we keep that and flip through to see what it is. For a residential burn permit, it's a little more cumbersome because we have so many people that do. And everything is logged into that county portal, which is where they want it to be. And you get all permits. Like when your house was built, you can go in and see all of yours or yours. All the permits that are issued, whether they're commercial, which is better because the commercial burn is supposed to call us and call dispatch when they're burning. This wasn't a commercial one. This was a residential one. So there was a permit that we could get into, but it was one of those duty officer call dispatch. Noel was the duty officer calls. People see smoke on Dinner. He sees it, calls the fire marshal who was responsive on the weekend, which was fantastic. Looked it up, sent a copy. Yeah, there's a better way to go get into that system so we can get that backside piece. The citing. We'll review the document, but you as the commission prior to my time relinquish that responsibility as the AHJ to the county fire marshal as partnership. So the county fire marshal is by delegation of our authority as the AHJ to site for county, not town. Town has their own, and it's been given to them, which there's a new fire marshal there too. And both of them, which is the great part, want to work more collaboratively with us. So we're going to get better on fire inspections, on pre-planning, on managing of the illegal burns this season, because Chad was new coming on and wasn't in place when the burn season opened. The four agencies, us, Lopez, Orcas, and Shaw, all said, we'll take that on and we'll do it. And we need your support if there is sighting or otherwise. And when Chad came on, he's like, well, I can take this on. We're like, we've got a system in place. It's okay. We'll maintain it. It gives us a little more personal accountability. But if we have an issue for sighting, this is that partnership piece, and we want to let them handle it, because that's the relationship with the county sheriff, because as it's been in the past, they need to be deputized. Well, the county sheriff has been reluctant to deputize our fire marshals for sighting. So it's an interesting juxtaposition where they're in. RJ could never get deputized, so he had to call one of our deputies to cite him, and the deputies were reluctant to cite him because they didn't know all the fire laws. So we're hoping with Ryan and with Chad that we're going to be able to get over that hurdle. The fire chiefs have all come together and said, yeah, there's a better way to do this and take care of things and be supportive, but those next steps. And so as the relationships grow, I think it'll be better. And we'll work with Sheriff Krebs to go down that road. And if it's an education piece, I think Chad and Ryan are going to be able to do that. And us having AHJs are going to be able to say, let's continue down this road and have law enforcement when we need, because we know we have some difficult residents from time to time, and we'll work through that. So.
Thank you. If we need to do a cost recovery, we can always do that. That's all well within our authority.
And within your board policy too, but it takes your action if we want to do cost recovery. It is supported in state statute, and you've established what's reasonable for us to go back, and it is actual cost is what we would charge. So if there was negligence and they were fined or cited, we could then add that on top of their piece, whatever our actual costs were for response.
Current volunteer firefighter recruit academy boasts 10 recruits. They start their full session this Saturday, and they'll be in class through the month of March. Staffing adjustments and opportunities are planned to continue deployment services model for this year. So we do have some changes. We had some folks, a couple of our part-time staff quit and moved on to bigger and better things.
Like Seattle Fire and
Burlington Fire.
So,
yeah, we're basically getting folks ready for bigger.
We're the farm league.
Anyway, we got to continue to massage that magic, just so you know, we're keeping an eye on it. Moving on to the performance highlights for 2021. Our busiest day was in August, and it was a total of 10 incidents that day. Six of those were EMS related, and four of those were fire related. I went ahead and projected the highs and lows in a biannual look. So you've got a 6 month high from June through November of last year. That was a total of 606 incidents. And then the low was between the months of December and May, through May, and that was 393 incidents. Total incidents for the year was 999 incidents. Percentage wise, those break down. So 64% of those were emergency medical rescue services for a total of 636 total responses. 13% were attributed to downgrade or non-emergency, the smells, bells, and helps type calls at 128 total responses. 10% were attributed to fire and all hazard responses, and as well as backfill requests at a total of 99 responses. And 13% of total responses resulted in cancellation or stand down events. There's a little graph for you there. Moving on into the report, I'm not gonna read it verbatim for you, but I do hope that you take the time to read it yourself. Essentially, it was a breakdown in our our response volumes, so you can have an idea what those are. And as you know, I've been reporting on those monthly, and it gives you a larger picture of how those are working. And then it breaks down into reaction and travel times. I think the highlight in reaction and travel times is we've got the data in now. We've been watching it really closely, and it's very arguable now that if we make certain improvements in certain areas, it'll serve the most of our community, our customers, in the best way. So, and what I've found is I think Roach Harbor and the Outer Islands is a big first step for us to really make drastic improvements in our service models. Roach Harbor particularly, because geographically, we get synergy from increasing our resource availability and doing staffing modeling, because, you know, it does access the North End Islands. It is adjacent to Station 34, which is another problem area. It's adjacent to Station 36, which has response issues as well. So by targeting Roach Harbor, and putting future investment and future planning into it, we'll get the biggest benefit to the community for the cost. I think overall, in conclusion, you'll read and get a gist of my general feel for the community and where we are. I will say that given the current circumstances we're in and the political climate and some of the challenges that have been thrown at us over the months and years, our staff has done an outstanding job. Our volunteers remain committed and dedicated to doing what's right for the community. And everybody's really just behind continuing as good a service as we can provide. From an operations perspective, I'll attest that it's been absolutely frustrating and often demoralizing that this community doesn't understand the benefits of a streamlined service and having emergency services operate under one entity. I think it's a really a disservice to the community to have fractured services. It's really unfortunate, but I'll continue to do my best to work around these hurdles and these artifacts of personality and historical anchoring, I guess is a good way of putting it. And the chief knows I'm dedicated to do that. And I do want to say thank you to the board and thank you to the chief for supporting operations and what we're trying to do for the community.
Any questions for the ops report?
You referenced your report and you wanted us to read it. I don't think we have it.
Noel was finishing up today. It's in your electronic document, so you will have the whole thing that he referenced for all of you. We did make it a PDF, and because it was a annual summary, we'll give you guys an opportunity to read it first, but then that will be pushed out with some additional documents. So if the public would like to review that and see the data and the graphs that were provided, they'll be able to see that as well.
Thanks.
Yep. Questions other than that?
Commissioner Olson?
Yes.
Any questions or comments for Noel?
No, I'm fine. He's always done a great job. I'll give him a call here sometime next, at maybe the end of this week or first of next week. And I'd just like to touch base with him.
You can get me a plane ticket. I'll come down.
Commissioner Colley, any questions at this point? Turn it over to Training Officer Kutzing for a quick summary for training.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Quick cursory report, we're meeting our training goals we did for December. We're supporting our competency-based goals, both with our firefighters and our EMTs. We've had two orientation meetings, basically with our new recruits, but everything goes into a full gear on Saturday. And as Chief Monin said, that'll go through March. Our culminating experience with the Recruit Academy and with all our firefighters is the live burn that's going to happen with the acquired structure that we have on Guard Street. And that's slated for, say, the 20th and 28th of March. So we'll keep everybody apprised of that. Just as basically to summarize, We've been able to provide good ongoing training and evaluation for both structural firefighting, wildland firefighting, and medical, basic life support medical skills. Four of our department EMTs were up for recertification. They all met the requirements and they're recertified for another 3 years with the State Department of Health. Things are looking good. That's kind of where we are right now, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
The Recruit Academy, is that weekends only?
Yes, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Basically, we've got 8 hours sleep. As I last month, there'll be a didactic portion that's kind of a video conferencing kind of thing. So that is all uniform throughout, both on Orcas and Lopez and here. And then we turn loose, get hands-on skills and work them through that and go through all the skills so we meet the vertical standards.
It's not just weekends. It's Saturday, Sunday, and then they're expected to be part of Monday night drills. So we can infuse them into the membership. And then it also helps the membership as the recruits are learning HOSE. It helps everyone else refresh on HOSE. And then they start to get to know each other. So it's not you go through academy and then all of a sudden you're expected to respond with each other. So it's all weekend, Saturday, Sunday. And then they drill Monday night with them as well. So that you're getting that additional training time and integration into the system.
That's great. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. that's the plan. And thanks to Noel. And Noel has got the lion's share kind of planning this. And I just kind of been able to help and coordinate and make everything that's happening in the background. So thanks to you.
Oh, you're acknowledging. Albert, any questions for?
No, I'm fine with Carl.
Well, I would, because I, you know, I would like to, I told him personally, I'd like to say it for, at least as a member of the board here, to him getting his teaching credential for, you know, for senior EMS teaching credential was a hell of a process. And I was proud to see that he was able to do it and stick with it and get it done. So I want to, I told him personally, but I want to say publicly, I think. And I was there when Dr. Forth signed it, so I know it's real.
And I'd like to wish you a happy day after.
Oh, thank you. There's still cake.
There's cake.
Yes, we need to eat that.
Oh, I saw it.
Captain Lean, fleet report.
Good afternoon, commissioners. So we got rid of the 2000 Xterra. Yep. And then they came up and picked it up and off it went.
Did it go out on the first bid or did it have?
That was the first bid. Yeah. Bid. I only had two bids and.
And somebody met the minimum.
Slightly over the minimum. It was 26 and change.
2750.
There you go.
Something like that.
So surplus for 2700.
Red on your boots when they drove it away.
I know.
Dragging, kicking, and screaming.
Yeah, so they came and got that, so that's gone. And then we received the UTV. I got that on Friday. Got line for about 2 hours. Wish I would have had a little bit more warmth on it, but it was fine. So it's going to be getting upfitted, and then as soon as it's upfitted and ready to go, I think we're going to be shipping it up to Stewart.
And how will it get there?
That was my question.
there's a few different options. One, we may see if Parks is available, who have offered. If not, we'll probably get, is it Grayback, which is
humpback.
Yeah.
Grayback. That's a different whale.
It is, right? I get my vessels and whales all backwards. I have animals on my mind.
And how's maintenance for the apparatus and things?
Things as it is.
As reported last month, all service was completed for the year, and he's starting into services as scheduled for the upcoming year. He's working on the schedule, and then he'll go down that. But all apparatus in the fleet met their annual inspections, pump tests, services, and otherwise. And that's why, as we reported out in the financials, that due to the preventative maintenance, the corrective was very limited this year. Also gave him the opportunity to go to, which island did you go over and help him fix Their pump, Lopez had some challenges and was able to go over there and maintain and pump test our reserve apparatus and help them out on some other stuff as well. So I know you did that on Shaw to get their pump test done last year because they couldn't get anyone out and they needed to have a current pump test certified for their Washington Survey and Ratings Bureau re-rate. So Ted was able to go out, do that pump test, make some corrective action for them as well. So we're able to support our partners. So facilities wise, just so you know, we had a repair. You probably saw it in the finances. We had a pinhole leak in our wet system for fire suppression. That was fixed. What a pain. And then in the cold weather, we had a break in the dry system, but the compressor was able to keep any water flowing, and it was in one of our outside sprinklers just outside of Bay 2. It was taken out of service. Because we have staffing, it was fine. So we always had a fire watch here. They were able to come out, fix that up. Tad's going to be putting together a plan and how we're going to assess the system. It's 25 plus years old now. Some of the pipes a little older. It was a metal pipe that was in. So do we want to sleeve it? Do we want to replace it? Because this is two issues within the last month and a half, 2 months. And we don't want to have a catastrophic failure in our fire suppression system. So it's time to review and see if we need to make any recommendations to maintain that system. So other than that, Gus had a dialogue with the association. We have had a challenge for a while, and it's been a lower priority for many of us because we've had other things that have hit higher. We need some signage on some of our outer stations so people recognize. Like if you drive past Roach, do you actually know that little red building on Cessna Lane is actually a fire station? The answer is no. So we need to fix some of that up. The association is looking at having some of their funds in partnership with us to do some signs with the same individual on island that made our sign that's out in front of here to get something that says fire station, whatever its actual name, in emergency call 911, and just have a presence that we will put on the buildings. I thought it was fantastic. John Salinas, this has been one of his pet projects for a few years now. And now that Adam Green has taken over as president, it gives John the opportunity to actually focus and go down that road. So he visited with me yesterday and said, could we still do this? And I'm like, it's a need. I would love to partner with you and figure out how we do that because it needs to be recognizable. So look forward to some of that coming in the near future. That's all we have for fleet facilities. I just wanted to add a couple things on the admin part of the report for you all before we close. One of them is it's been too long because of COVID, and otherwise we haven't been able to have a banquet. You know, we had to cancel it last year. I think that if we can plan ahead, we can do it safely, but we should have a recognition banquet within the next month or two. We need to take that opportunity to recognize the outstanding work that people have done in this organization and have stepped up to the plate to protect the community in a very comprehensive way, and we need to do that. Just a baby piece. Noel and I started this a couple years ago. He and I as chiefs, and when Carl was interim over at EMS, we said we want to give to our membership, and we're going to cook for them on one of the nights. So one of the partners that we did with the association is on the fifth Monday of the month, and that only happens about quarterly. We want it to be more of a social for the membership. Families can come in. So what we've decided to do is there's one at the end of this month. So Noel and I are going to do our chili that we did last time. People seem to really like that. So open invite to you as commission. It's going to be the last Monday of this month. It's the 31st. And Noel and I will be doing the cooking.
It's real chili.
It's no beans. That's correct. There's no beans, and it's a steak chili that
we make. Steak chili on the side with beans for those who can't eat the real chili.
That was for Carolyn. She's retired now.
Yeah.
But we're going to do that, and that's part of our give back to our membership and recognize the volunteers. The other side We'd like to do something come summer, which is more of a family piece, and visiting with the association, they got some plaques for some of our people that have retired and moved on. But we want to have the first part of the year, which is our recognition banquet for the member plus one. And then during the summer, we want to have it a little more relaxed. Families can go, retirees can go, former commissioners can come. And that's where we get an opportunity to recognize those that have recently retired, plaques, and in a much more relaxed atmosphere. And we can have more people because we can have a barbecue like we did with the pig roast here here a little while ago. So those are upcoming things, but I would be remiss at our January meeting to not recognize the phenomenal work that staff and volunteers have done over the last year in taking care of this community and moving forward in the direction that you gave and the expectations that I've given. That concludes staff reports. There's no recommendation for an executive session, and it's back to you, Mr. Chair, unless there's any questions that I'd be happy to answer.
Okay. Norman, I have one.
Yep.
I thought your wife did all the cooking for the chili. Then you and Noel just served it.
She did prep work because our knife skills were, we would have been here all week cutting the onions and the peppers. So Holly was nice enough to give us the amounts and baby step us through it. We had to assemble. Holly did all the prep and we assembled. So you're absolutely right. She definitely gets credit for that.
Okay. Oh, having said that, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay, what's your motion?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn. If there's nothing else to bring before the board.
5 o'clock for him. He's past.
That's right.
It's overtime.
We have a second.
I'll second.
It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. It is now 16:06. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you everyone for joining us. Meeting is adjourned.
Okay, thank you. We'll talk to you next month.